Alan, it's that time of the week again.
That special time of the week.
Once again, you have to lose to me in a challenge. What? I know it's been 3 challenges now, and every time I walk away the victor, and you're starting to wonder if you'll ever be able to do it.
Someday. Every night I pray to the gods of Gundam that I will finally be able to beat 6 in a Garden It Wager game.
It's interesting that you should say Gundam. Except for it's not, because I'm not, like, revealing this to you. We both know what we were going to do in advance. But listen, let's throw up that artifice again and be like, it's surprising that you should say Gundam. Because actually, for this week's challenge, we are going to be doing a best of 3 in the PlayStation 4 Computer Entertainment System video game title, Gundam Versus.
TM.
Alan, you're a Gundam fan.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a Gundam fan and a fighting game fan. So this is right up our alley. This is perfect.
This game is perfect also.
That's super not true.
Ooh. Spicy
but
takes.
That's another podcast where I review Gundam Versus and I give it a whatever out of 10. Right now, let's get into it with our first match.
Hell yeah, bring it on.
The match opens with 6 picking a personal favorite, the evasive ranged keep-away mecha, the Talgis. Alan opts for the more aggressive Gundam Barbatos, a more melee-centric machine that can close distance with alarming speed. In an effort to throw 6 off, Alan tries to play a more patient style at first, and is soundly punished for their efforts.
I hate this. This sucks. This is no good for me.
Everything's coming up 6. Alan's attempts to close in are all shut down, and the Barbatos' ranged options are no match for the Talgis's. Feeling the pressure, Alan seeks cover behind a building, and even the breather is denied them.
At least I'm safe behind this building. Oh no.
On Alan's second life, they find a great deal more success, closing the distance and getting some good damage in, but 6's early lead proves too great to overcome. Without losing a life, 6 wins the first match.
Oh no, what am I gonna do?
All right, so Talgis versus Barbatos. Talgis takes it. That's 1-0-6. If I get 2 wins, that's it.
Oh, that means I got to pull out the big one, the big boy now.
We gotta get super cereal.
Or I can just get super unfair and play the one suit that you don't know super well.
Do. Jesus. Okay.
Yep. It's Master Asia time, baby.
Oh, boy.
The second match swings decisively in Alan's favor as the oppressive power of the Master Gundam overwhelms 6's Talgis. Oh, I just sliced through you like butter.
Oh, boy.
One of Earth's 2 lives already snuffed out, 6 tries to reset and keep a safe distance from the mechanized martial artist. Progress is slow but steady. It's going well for 6's Talgis, but there is a lot of ground to make up. Hold on, can I do the bunch of fist things at you real quick?
I mean, you can try.
The fight is back to almost even, but 6's defense collapses as Alan rushes in.
Don't stop fisting me, Alan.
And we got that on the recording. In the scramble, 6 manages to knock Alan away, and as Alan tries to close the distance again, they're tagged one last time, confirming 6's triumphant victory.
All right. I got a challenge. I won one.
Yeah, you did.
I don't think I'd win one.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah, you did. I came close on that one.
You did. You did. It was real. The first life, you just rocked me.
I was just talking about this to someone in regards to the Souls video games. My, like, ultimate weakness with any and all competitive or difficult games is I always want to push my luck. I never play conservatively in anything. I'm just like, no, I should be able to get that hit. Of course I can get that extra hit in, and that never ever works out, especially in Gundam Versus. Alas.
I feel like my weakness is I spend the early parts of any like fighting game match like trying something out, being like, if I can make this work, it'll be incredible, and then I'm like, nope, didn't work, nope, back to basics.
Now I've already like screwed myself and I gotta play like normal. Yeah.
Yeah. So but that was good games there.
For sure.
So, Alan.
6.
It's been, like, literally a month, but I'm finally ready to give you some homework.
Oh, shit. I forgot. That's what this means, doesn't it?
It is.
All right,
it
fantastic, is. Fantastic. What am I getting this time?
So you are going to be playing a video game.
Ooh.
And if you don't have access, I can arrange that. And it is a 2016 PC title named Hacknet.
Oh, cool.
Hacknet is a game where you play as a hacker going on basically freelance hacking missions. It is very much in the style of, like, Hollywood hacking, right, where everything's kind of smoothed over and a little over the top. And I liked that game a whole lot, and I'm very curious to see how you feel about it.
Literally, the main thing I know about it is that a lot of people liked it but didn't put it on their Game of the Year lists, and whenever I bring it up in group conversations with friend of the podcast, Jen, she always goes, oh, Six loved that game. So,
Yes, I did.
I think it sounds like your jam, and we tend to like the same thing, so I'll probably dig it.
Excellent. All right, well, thanks for... I shouldn't be thanking you. Neil, coward, I won. I don't know how to be victorious. On with the show.
The Garnet Wager is a game where two players compete in challenges while watching episodes of The Genius. Challenges occur once per podcast, and the winner receives a quantity of garnets, depending on the challenge, and can assign media homework for that episode. The loser must report back on that media at the end of the episode. If they liked it, the winner receives an additional garnet. Garnets may also be wagered in various bets according to the whims of the players. Garnets are not obtained automatically. When you successfully win a garnet, you have 5 minutes to claim that garnet or becomes available for your opponent to claim. The first person to say Jin-Ho after 5 minutes have elapsed receives the garnet, so long as they inform their opponent of the acquisition at the end of the episode. This is the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Garnet Wager. We're here to talk about The Genius Season 1, Episode 4.
Hello, Six.
As you were getting ready to watch this, I said that this was the best episode of The Genius so far. How do you feel about that statement?
I mean, you're pulling a Jin-Ho over here because you're telling me things that I'm not prepared for, and you're worrying me a lot. That's what happened. I messaged you, and I was like, this seems like a lot, right? Like, you're hyping up an episode that can't possibly live up to this. I gotta say, I did like it a lot. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was a little bit over dramatic for what the game was, but I like seeing the players get into the game this much.
So since we're about 2 minutes in and you just said Jin-Ho and made me nervous, I'm gonna go ahead and claim my garnets from the challenge.
Fuck, does that not work? Did I not get to do it?
You know you have to wait 5 minutes.
Oh, I have to wait 5 minutes. Crap. I'm never gonna learn the rules.
We built them together, Alan.
I'm the founding father who's like, wait, are we allowed to have slaves or not?
Jesus, Alan. I mean, do you want to claim yours or not?
Yes, I want to claim mine.
Okay, so I get 12, you get 3.
I thought I was going to be so smart this week.
just like, welcome to the garden, Jin-Ho.
Yeah,
like,
100%. 100%.
Not how this works.
But you did pull a Jin-Ho. You were like, guys, I got this. Guys, this is the best episode. So it's the zombie game.
It is the zombie game. We'll get into it. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like we always have some talk over the sort of the opening of everybody coming together and chatting about last week and setting up the social groundwork for the new game. And this week is less exciting than last week, but we still got some good stuff, some good pregame, right?
Everyone's horny as hell, and it's being played over some chunky dubstep.
I mean, like, so Kyungran, yeah, says to Jin-ho, you're getting more handsome every day, and I agree. Jin-ho is getting, like, he sort of started out just like, okay, he looks fine, you know, for a person, like, listen, if I saw him in person, I'd be like, wow, that's a hot boy.
Yeah.
Goddamn. But, like, for on TV, it's like, okay, sure. And then, you know, next episode's like, okay, he's pushing up his game a little bit, and next episode's like, yeah,
it's
all right.
Glow up.
And today
yeah.
it's like, damn, all right. This trend better stop, or else I'm gonna have some questions about my sexuality by the end of the season.
I got no questions here. He's a babe and a half.
spicy boy.
He's a spicy boy. Everyone's attractive. I don't know. That's why when the person was eliminated this week, I was like, oh man, we lost another hottie. But like, everyone's cute except Gura. Gura's a grumpy dad. Grumpy, shitty dad. No offense. Actually, yeah, I don't care if I offend Gura. That's fine.
Yeah,
people
actually,
talk to him.
Actually, it's fine.
Yeah, people talk to him in the beginning. This intro, like, he's a dictator. The way that they're just like, "Oh, this guy, he's got all of his cronies. He's got people working under him. We need to take him out, take him down." I'm like, he's a person.
So you're fucking playing a strategy game. It's time to go down. It's time to throw down. Also, he harasses the dealers, and that's not cool.
He does. That's true. That was super not. That was a bad sign. That was a big
That was
flag.
Uncool. That was uncool. And, like, everybody else is that sort of like, oh, he's being inappropriate, but, like, it's not over the line enough that we feel comfortable yelling at him, so we're all just kind of uncomfortable. Yeah.
It's... Because, I mean, like, people feeling comfortable is great on the show, because you get, like, the part that cuts into the theme song is, like, Sungyu and Sungmin are just, like, teasing each other back and forth. Mm-hmm. As the music is like swelling up, and you're like, "Yay, everyone likes each other!" But then it's like, "Don't talk to the dealers."
Yeah, leave them alone.
Leave them alone. They're just doing their job. There's the lady who says "touch," and like nobody bothers her. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people who just like confirm the rules if you ask them. Like, don't just be cool. Don't touch the dealers.
Yeah,
that it is. It's a pretty straightforward opening though. Nothing like too crazy.
The only real crazy thing, the only thing I really want is, so Sungmin declares that he was acting like an idiot during the last DM, like that he didn't know Yutenori. He says that was all an act to buy time to try and read what the other team was up to. And so there are a couple of reactions to this. Like, first, Sungmin is sort of doubling down, like, I've sold 8.8 million albums, of course I can play Yutenori. Like, wait, what? What does that have to do with
what
anything?
What does that have to do with that?
Sungyu is very skeptical, and it's so he's getting on someone else's case for being clueless, which I feel like is even more evidence that Sungyu just is playing dumb this whole time and is actually smart. And then Kyungran is just staring at him with this expression we've seen so many times from her now, where she's just sort of looking at someone like holding back her thoughts and allowing you to continue, even though in her mind she is crushing you underneath her foot. She's like, I'm done with you and going to kill you. She just has the most like intense, like smells like bullshit stare.
Yeah, the furrowed eyebrow.
Yeah, just no poker face on her. She tries to hide it, but she just has nothing but disdain.
That's what I like about her, honestly, is she's the first person to be like, I'm being fooled. Nope, this is bad. Everyone's cheating. Everyone's lying. You're a liar. You're bad. Like, no hesitation to call people out.
Mm-hmm. So our main match, as alluded to, is the zombie game. In the zombie game, two people out of the 10 will be determined to be zombies. Basically, you go up and you draw a card, and there are two cards that are zombie cards, so you'll be a zombie. The other 8 players will be humans. You know what you are, your role. You don't know anyone else's role. There will be 3 30-minute rounds. Every round you must touch at least one other player. And if you don't, you become a zombie. So if you don't touch anyone in a given round, you automatically become a zombie. You cannot touch the same person twice in the entire game. Here are the outcomes for if you touch another player. If two zombies touch, nothing happens. If two humans touch, they get a point. If a zombie and a human touch, the human becomes a zombie.
Right.
However, everyone also has one little vial of cure that they can drink. If you drink it within 10 minutes of being turned into a zombie, you prevent being turned into a zombie. You can also buy more by spending 5 garnets. And the starting zombies cannot use their cure. And at the yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The next thing you're going to say is what I was going to say.
At the end of every round, the number of zombies and humans will be revealed. It's just sort of a count of, like, there are 6 zombies, there are 4 humans, or whatever.
Yeah.
The win conditions, basically, if any humans survive, the player with the most points wins, and the one with the least loses. If all survivors have equal points, they're all safe and can pick the loser. And if everyone's a zombie, the zombies win. Survivors get a garnet for every point they get, if there are survivors. And if there aren't any, then the starting zombies get 3 garnets.
Seems straightforward enough. Like, again, lots of rules, lots of like corollaries to rules, but ultimately it's like there are good and bad people, and the bad people need to get everyone to be on their team. It's a two teams game. It's an infection game. It's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
In practice, at least. Which is cool because it leads to... Sorry, did you have more of the rules to explain? Or?
No, that is all of the rules.
It's cool to me because... Whereas with a lot of the games, it's like... Some of them have to still figure out the rules and make sure that they understand the rules. Everyone knows how to game this the most from the beginning, which is like... Okay, we have our strategy. We need, 4 or 5 people to trust each other enough that we're all humans and not zombies. And we just all touch each other, and then we all get the most points, and literally nobody else can win, and then we have 5 winners.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of initial, like, winning strategy. Because it makes sense. Everyone gets, 1 point. That's 4 points for each person for getting everyone else. They all get 4. No one else can get more than 3. Perfect. The problem... is that people want... It's always the problem is that people want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people want to be, like, the winner. And zombies want to play as well and are sometimes good liars.
Mm-hmm.
So a really clever thing that they do with the structure of the episode is we learn almost immediately who the first zombie is, which is...
Jung Moon.
And she's so innocent. She's so nice. She's like, "Hey guys, like I'm a human. It's me, the human."
But she gets seen through by everyone so fast because Chung Yup, who's been like they've been buds this whole time, and Chung Yup, like as they've just drawn their roles and they come back to the group, and Chung Yup says, "Jung Moon, are you a human or a person?" And Jung Moon pauses for a second, then sort of coyly says, "I'm a woman," and it's like. She did not understand the question, and Chung Yup is like red flag, everybody, siren, somebody ring the bell. We got one. Chung Yup throughout this episode has a lot of good, like, deer in headlights alarmed looks.
Yeah. Really?
And yeah, like, he's totally correct. Jung Moon is absolutely a zombie.
Extremely a zombie. I really like that question, though, the are you human or are a person?
Yeah, it's really smart.
It's super. Yeah, it's clever, and it's sort of like the way that they play Yunori, which is like you need to convey something to someone without saying it outright.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of question, like the way that they respond, shows that they're like, their hesitation speaks volumes. You know.
Mm-hmm. So Songmin grabs Kyungran, our 2 faves, duck off into a room, and Songmin's like, "The zombies are Gura and Jungmoon."
He's immediately right.
He immediately has them both nailed down, and Kyungran's like, "You're gonna have to explain this one?" And he's like, "Okay, listen. My job is I'm a scout. I do a lot of people watching. Jungmoon has a terrible poker face." Which is like, yes, she's kind of... I think the only person who acts worse than her this game is Chung Yup. Chung Yup can't act for shit this entire game.
Nope,
the actor.
Right.
Which is pretty funny. And then he's like, and also, Gura is treating me differently this week, and he's acting kind of weird. And, like, Pung, who's also there, is like, yeah, he's treating me differently, too. I totally noticed that. That was weird. And then Jinho comes in and is, like, acting ridiculously suspicious for seemingly no reason, because he's a human, but he's, like, he does a weird, like, zombie walk for a second, and then, like, he sits down, and they're like, "Are you a human?" Or a person, and he's like, "What? Like, what did it say on your card?" And he's like, "I don't know." It's like,
in English, what did it say? He's like, "Oh, there was English on it."
Jinho, come on.
Come on.
Ugh.
I think the line from Songmin that you're referring to is actually, "People watching is one of my occupational diseases." I don't know if that's a good translation or what, but I really, really liked the wording of that.
It's very evocative.
Yeah. It's just like, this is part of how I live. I know how to read people because it's all I do. And then, like, he's like, well, how do you know? He's like, well, one of them has, Jungmoon has a terrible poker face, and Gura doesn't care that he has a bad poker face. Like, he's just saying questions like, yeah, if I was a zombie, for example, XYZ, you know, like, if I were to touch you and make you guys zombie, I mean, you know, just whatever, like, that'd be weird.
I'm just saying, like, I know how a zombie would think. It's like, okay, Gura. And so Songmin's like, okay, Pung, you're in charge of keeping track of who touches who. Go out there with a little notepad and just keep track of all of it. And we've got our two faves forming an alliance for this game.
Yeah. It's us in the show forming an alliance.
Or do we? Because then Songmin pulls Gura into a room, and he's like, listen, I told them you and Jungmoon were zombies. I have their trust. What's the plan?
And you're like,
and I sort of hold my breath for a second, and Gura, thank God Gura plays this, frankly, so badly. Because he's just like, no, really, I'm not a zombie. It's Pung. It's gotta be Pung. This is all pointless. Why are you even looking for the zombie? This is ridiculous. And Sungman's like, ah, got it.
Shit.
And he's just kind of out of there. I will touch on it a few times, but this series, the rest of this episode is just like Jungmoon, like chasing Chungyup around and being unhappy that he's avoiding her.
Like, so sad. Like, legit sad. She's just like, oh, come on. We're friends. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's just like so many of these games, they're trying to use, like, social pressure for the game. Sort of like, no, don't be like, why are you being so cold? Like, come on, lose the game for me. And it's like, no. Right, I will not do that.
They have this, like, playfully flirting friendship, too. Mm-hmm. That you keep thinking is just like, oh, this is fun, like, fan service-y background stuff. And then as the episode progresses and the rift between them widens, you're like, oh, no, they really did, like, they were friends. They were really just, like, sad to see each other go.
Mm-hmm.
And just like last week when the person leaves and, you know, I think one of the last, just sorry to jump ahead, but, like, one of the last lines is her going, like, what will I do without you? And you're like, oh.
I have feelings about, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
I have
sorry,
feelings yes. about that whole thing.
Yeah,
no, it's fine to give a little teaser, but like, man, I really don't feel like she gets to say that. anyway, so, it's time for some touching. And Gura, like, pressures, like Gura is sort of watching, and Sungyu and Songmin are the first people to touch, because it's like, oh, hey, you know, the Hubei and the Sunbai, they're fine. They're ready to do it. And then Gura's like, oh, okay, you know, Sungyu, how about we do it as well? And Sungyu just, like, freezes, like, oh, God.
I don't know what to do here.
I've been cornered by the zombie. What do I do? And Songmin basically, like, steps in and, like, takes the bullet for him, right? He's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'll touch. It's fine. And then he just, like, races off and drinks his cure. Pung in the back, documenting everything.
First of all, loved his documenting everything. Loved the way that he's like, guys, I got this. Like, people suddenly realizing, a lot of people take notes in this episode, and them all realizing, like, oh, if we take good notes, we can practically, like, we don't have to remember anything. We can game the whole match, because we'll have, like, strict records for everything. Except he's trying to do it for this whole game, and then, like, 5 minutes in, he's like, oh, I can't read my own notes. And they're like, show me your notes. And he's like, none of this makes sense. And they're like, throw away your notes. Stop taking. He's like, no, I'll fix it. Like, I understand. I can read it, guys. Come on. And just every time we come back to him, he's like, no, none of this makes sense. I've already, like, these notes have made the game impossible for me. He's just, that's his whole purpose in this episode. He just ends up taking one alliance and taking really bad notes the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So, like, Songmin took the bullet for Sungyu. Everyone, like, things keep proceeding. Jungmoon keeps trying to get people to touch with her, and no one will do it. And then Gura starts pushing on Sungyu again when Songmin's not there to take the pressure off of him, and Sungyu finally caves and touches. And then, like ducks off to a quiet room just to sort of think about, like, oh, God, what have I done?
And so Poong's running around, like, checking on everything and writing tons of notes, and he comes in with his fucking, like, notepad, like a clipboard to see Sungyu. He's like,
yeah.
Yes, Sungyu, you touched with Gura. You've taken your cure. And Sungyu's like, I didn't take my cure. Poong just, like, freezes, like, like he's realized there's someone behind him with a gun. He looks terrified.
It's like, I have to go back 11 steps in my notes and fix everything. This is so bad.
Yeah.
So funny. That also, I think that was when Sungyu does touches with someone. He's like in such a rush to do it that he like touches it and goes like, oh, it's shocking me. All right, bye. like it's like me talking to a girl in elementary school. Like, hello, bye. Just sprints away because he's terrified of himself.
Mm-hmm. Sungyu is talking to Poong, and Poong is like, you didn't take your cure? And Sungyu's like, yeah, Sungmin told me not to. And Poong is just like, my God.
Oh my God.
Like, he doesn't say anything, but he's just like, oh, we've been betrayed. And he runs over to Kyungran, and Kyung's like, yes, Poong, that was the plan. He's like, oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah. Poong almost takes the role of the viewer in this episode, where he's just like, wait, you messed with them, and they messed with you. Oh. Just, like, shocked by everything.
It's like a person, like, I've gone to a few baseball games in person, right?
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I tried to do, like, the scorecard thing, right?
Oh, and where you, like, keep you score got... yourself?
Right. And I'm like, and I'm like, all right. And I look up, and I'm like, wait, why are they... Why is everyone leaving the field? They've only got two outs. Where'd I oh, God. You're, like, looking back at your scorecard, like, what did I fuck up? What did I do wrong? And that's Poong this game. He's trying to keep score, and he just can't do it.
It's a solid effort, honestly.
And then Chunhyup and Jungmoon also touch, and Chunhyup then, like, ducks away and takes his medicine, and Jungmoon's all happy, and then, like, Poong is talking strategy, and is talking about, like, oh, yeah, and then Chunhyup took his medicine, and he sort of turns his head, and Jungmoon is standing there, and he's like, oh, okay.
You never think that's going to happen on the show, and then it does, and I'm always surprised by it.
It's not a very big space. Like, of course you're going to overhear each other. Their plan is kind of, yeah.
And there are cameras in every room. It's not like you're going to get a secret room where no one sees you.
Mm-hmm.
And no one asks about you. Like, now, especially now there's only 10 of us, it's like, yep, I can do a head count easily and know someone's missing. There's no more hiding anything in, like, those side rooms.
So, by the plan of the Alliance, how this round should end is Gura the zombie touched Songmin and Sungyu. Songmin took his cure, Sungyu did not. Then Jungmoon the zombie touched Chunhyup, and Chunhyup took his cure. So Sungyu should turn into a zombie. There should be three zombies.
Right.
The round ends. There are two zombies and 8 humans. And everyone loses their minds.
This is where everyone starts, here it comes.
Everyone just starts freaking out. Like, Sungmin just sort of sits down on the steps, and he's just, like, wide-eyed shaking his head like, nothing makes sense. There's no reason to anything anymore.
So extra. He's just always 300% invested in the game, and he's just, like, actually having emotional... We keep the commercial flash forward this episode is Songmin basically screaming at people who are, like, all pointing and laughing at him, saying, give me the cure, who has my cure? And you're like, is this real? Did it become real life? Is the twist that, like, they're gonna become actually zombies and, like, kill him? He really does play it like that.
He's so much, this stuff is why he's my favorite, is because he's always all in. He's always so willing to, like, cast aside any distance and just be fully in the game, and I love it so much.
And what ends up being his downfall, I guess, is that the people who aren't as, like, overly invested, they just came up with one clever thing, and enough people agreed on it, and it worked against him, and they fucked him over in a really fun way.
Yeah.
So I guess this is sort of the thing that you were telling me about, as, like, there's a big twist in this episode.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I feel like there are two twists. Jungmoon and Chunhyup keep sort of talking things out, and, like, Jungmoon is, like, So did you didn't take your cure? And Chung Yun's like, no, I didn't take my cure. He's like, so are you a zombie? And he's like, who cares if I'm a zombie? Did you take your cure? And he's like, I mean, I didn't take my cure. and she's like, yes, I'm a zombie. And Chung Yun is just like suddenly gets diarrhea. Like, he just looks really upset. It's like, this man is a professional paid actor. Like, not just on this show.
And
his normal career is that he's an actor, and he has, like, he's just like, woof. He can't hide anything from anyone. He's just so bad.
Oh my god, I love it so much. This whole second half of the episode, like, I thought, the reason I didn't have a lot of notes on, like, the beginning is just, like, not a lot interesting happens. It's just a lot of back and forth and kind of a couple of jokes. Pretty much right around this point is where I was like, all right, we're not nonstop hits from here on out. The episode is just flying by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just so much drama and, like, accusing and, like, trying to figure it out. And so they're trying to, like, they're yelling at each other and trying to figure things out. Pung is like, I've looked at the data. Gura has to be human. That has to be the answer. And again, Jin-ho is like, your chart is useless. Throw that thing away. Who cares?
Stop using your stupid chart.
And Kyung-ran is chewing Sung-yu out for not knowing the rules, which, yeah, is going to get ironic pretty soon.
Yeah.
Sung-yu is definitely playing her pretty hard. We get some more touching. Gura touches with two new people because, you know, because he's clearly human. He touched with Sung-yu and Sung-yu didn't turn, right?
Obviously.
And Sung-min is like, listen, I don't know what the hell is going on. Just ignore everyone else and just do our alliance thing. We don't need to figure out what's going on.
And that'll work.
Uh-huh.
And then yeah.
Round two ends and there are 5 zombies and 5 humans.
What?
And everybody starts freaking out again. We get a flashback to the beginning of the match where Gura, like, pulls Sung-yu aside and is like, Sung-yu, I'm only telling you I'm a vampire.
I'm a vampire. Wait, good twist.
Wait, sorry, wrong game. I'm a zombie. And Sung-yu's like, okay, Sung-min suspects you, so we're going to have to do something about this. He does the touch with Gura. He runs off, takes his cure, and is like, Gura, give me your cure. Swap cures with me so that I can pretend that I haven't taken mine and they won't know what's going on.
Right, I'll take it.
I told you this boy was playing dumb. I told you.
Yep. We already knew.
Actually scary smart. And Sung-min basically, once we get this 5-5 result, immediately figures out what happened.
Right.
So the Alliance is now trying to figure out what to do because they're like, okay, at this rate, like, we can keep people alive. Not everyone's going to turn into a zombie, but if we do what our plan is, the way it's turned out is Pung is going to have one more point than everyone else. And we wanted a joint victory. That's unacceptable, right?
Right.
So they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna do touches with different people so Pung won't get too many more points than everyone else. We'll have the same amount of points. We'll touch with zombies and just do cures. It's like, okay, well, we don't have enough cures for that. And so Jin-ho and Pung run off and do their little, like, they do a love shot, like they cross their arms and, like, toss them into, it's very cute.
The boys.
And then Pung tries to negotiate for Songmin's cure, or for a cure for Sung-min, and he gets one from Jung-moon. Everyone's taking their cure. Sung-min touches and takes his cure, and he, like, freezes and, like, stares at the vial, and he's like, this isn't a cure. Pung, okay. What have you done?
Okay, here's the question of the week, folks. Write in to us with your answer. GarnetWager@gmail.com. That's not a real email address. So the cure, if you didn't pick up on it at this point, is for each person a small vial of unknown liquid.
Mm-hmm.
What he says is, you gave me water. They later find out that it's not only water, it's like regurgitated water because somebody else drank it and then spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
What is the actual cure then?
So,
is there any way to get an answer to this?
This is just my, like, It's funny. You asked me this. You sort of like you posed this question in our little chat before we recorded this.
Yeah.
And I realized I had just assumed what it tasted like exactly without even considering what it actually tasted like.
Yeah. What did you think it tasted like?
So I used to work at a barbecue restaurant, and we would get a bunch of like boutique-y sodas, right? Like small, like independent bottle, like fancy sodas, right?
Yeah.
And I had a really good time trying a bunch of those out. And one time I got like, we got like some like old timey orange soda. And it tasted like it was made from like orange peel. Like not like, not like orange soda like you're used to, not like orange crush, like actually like orange. Like orange peel and ginger.
Interesting.
And I just, my brain's just like, oh, that's what this tastes like. And I don't know why it decided that.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you have any
orange drink
theories?
I mean, in regards to that, I definitely have had like weird sodas before. Like when I've traveled and I'm like, oh, that's what I sort of imagined it tastes like, was just a weird soda or alcohol. I just thought it was like a vodka shot, but then I was like, no, but it can't, because they wouldn't drink on a TV show. Like, let's be
well, and also it looks like in the situations where we see it, it's in a brown bottle, but the bottle looks kind of cloudy, so it's clearly not a perfectly transparent.
Oh,
liquid.
Good point. It's got to be
somewhat opaque.
Beverage, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is just a mystery that's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Because, again, there's no, like, the weird thing about the Genius is there's never, like, lore you can get into, because it's just real people playing a real game. So it's not like, oh, you can read the Genius novels to figure out what was in that, like, with any other, like, fun show that you watch.
Yeah, but, like, people don't, like, you don't, like, fucking watch Full Metal Alchemist and go like, I wonder what the fucking like potion that makes you live forever tastes like, you know?
Well, because what it tastes like doesn't matter, but in this moment it matters, because he says this doesn't taste like cure.
That's true.
Which
That's
establishes
true.
The question of then what does cure? Now I need to know what cure tastes like. Like before, I'm like, oh, it's a mistake. I actually assumed it would have been empty. And they just have to visualize that they drank it, quote unquote, and then that's how you symbolize that it's gone. But he's like, no, this doesn't taste like cure. And you're like, but then that means there was a liquid in there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Anyways, these are the things that plague my mind, especially in the back half of the game when I stop my brain kind of mentally checks out until someone gets eliminated. Because after he drank it, well, it's really funny, like the sort of series of events. We get the teaser moment where everyone is kind of like laughing and smiling about like, ha, we did it. We fucking got him. We're so smart. And then I believe, is it Chung Yup who's like, yeah, I spit at that. That was my spit.
Yeah, Chung Moon's like, yeah, that's actually water that Chung Yup spit up. And Song Min just like screams like, what?
What are you doing?
And Chung Yup's like, listen, I didn't know someone was going to drink it.
Why would you know? Like, if you put anything in that clear liquid bottle, and I would take a shot of it and not know what it is. No way.
I mean, like, I'm sure the reason he did that is because he was working with Chung Moon at least at one point. And it was like, okay, let's make a fake bottle of cure so we can show it off to trick people.
Yeah. You have to put some liquid in it, so.
Yeah, yeah. Never an assumption that someone's gonna toss it back. But Song Min barely manages to survive. He managed to negotiate for a real cure.
Does he end up using his five to buy one? Is that what it was?
No. He got a real cure from Chung Yup. He got Jung Moon's actual cure.
Oh,
in exchange
okay.
for Chung Yup not, like, for them not picking Chung Yup for the DM.
Okay.
Was basically the deal. And as everything's winding down, Pung sort of, like, is talking to Gura, and he's like, man, it was really smart of you to think of using Sung Yu like that for that, like, fake, you know, fake cure plan. And Gura's like, listen, that was all Sung Yu. You guys are underestimating him.
And you're overestimating me.
No. I mean, well, in this game, certainly. But always assume that something scummy happening was Gura.
Was
Gura,
smart, yeah.
Maybe, but scummy, definitely.
Yeah, but yeah, it's true. Sung Yu is secretly becoming one of the has established himself as one of the smartest people on the damn show.
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive.
But yeah, the game is over, and the Survivor Alliance of Song Min, Jin Ho, Pung, Kyungran, and Yurim has prevailed. Which means, you know, like, Song Min and Jin Ho are cheering and all excited. And Chung Yup's really frustrated because he gave them the cure and the touch that they needed to make this all work. And he didn't think it would matter, and it totally mattered. So he's really frustrated. And also everyone else, all the zombies are really frustrated with him.
Yeah, naturally.
So.
I would feel bad. But yeah. At least you don't have to participate. You don't have to be in that really, really intense DM. But
yeah, exactly. Because that was the deal. And Kangaroo's like, listen, we won because of Chunyup. We made a deal. We're going to do... Not only are we not going to pick him, we're going to pick the person least likely to choose him for the DM.
Right.
And Songmin's like, okay, well, that's Jungmoon. Jungmoon and him are tight. There's no way she'd send him. She'll pick Yunji or something, right?
Yeah.
Which, oh, by the way, we had a bet from last week. Yura was one of the winners. And my dice roll prediction was Yunji, and Yunji did not win. So...
And my dice roll was Yurum, and Yurum was technically one of the winners, so I guess I win again.
Yeah, with bets, I don't think we need to claim Garnets for bets, because that seems like that could be too shitty, especially because we're like, okay, so in this case, I lose Garnets, right? Against the bank. What if I just didn't claim that I lost them? Like, obviously, that's just stupid. So we'll just make that happen.
No, because your claim is when you confirm that you want to put the wager in. Like, you're
right.
That's
exactly.
That's your claim.
That's self-confirmed. So just a little development of the rules here for the folks. So you got four more Garnets for your wager, and I lost five for mine.
Put it in the dock. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Ba-boom, ba-boom. Yes. Oh, by the way, folks, there's a dock. There will not be another issue of me being like, I don't remember. where did I write this down? I'm keeping a dock now.
It's a good dock.
Thank you. I'll try. And so... They pick Jungmoon, and Jungmoon is immediately like, okay, I picked Chunyup for the death match. And Chunyup doesn't seem that surprised by this, but...
He's ready for it.
Yeah, and she's sort of like, basically she implies in like confessionals and stuff, like she feels kind of betrayed by the way he played in the main match. I'll save the thoughts on that for the death match itself, because right now I think it's time for some homework.
Homework.
Alan, I subjected you to Hacknet, a 2016 video game based on hacking. How did you feel?
I believe it's actually, I read about the source material, it's based on hacking, and not actually hacking.
I should have done my research.
Hacking. It's a PC game. It is played pretty much entirely from what I played in the first, I'd say, 45 minutes. I went a little bit over the 30-minute requirement in a terminal. It's a very minimalist interface. I've never myself worked with like coding or computer tech. I've done like the basics of the tutorials to learn how to do that stuff. But I've never like used a terminal as a computer, and it's just the terminal on the right hand side. You have like a set of notes in the top left, and then you have like a visualizer for the constantly playing music in the bottom left.
Mm-hmm. And also a bit of a visualization of like the various computers you can connect to, just to make it a little more manageable.
Right. They do a really cool a smart thing of balancing. Like you can actually navigate the whole entire game just by typing. But then they give you a couple of options of like, if you want to just click the faraway node, you don't have to like type, you know, slash whatever the connect command is to that node. You can just click it because we know where you want it. And it's important to understand like how they connect to each other. So I think all the visualization stuff is cool. The game itself is kind of fun. It's sort of a pretty straightforward like puzzle game with a little bit of a narrative hook. Like you are being assigned by this mysterious hacker person to go into different computers. And I think where I found the most enjoyment out of it was the way it intersects with how real computer hacking is, and like where it takes that intersection and goes, no, this has to be exciting. Like, we want you to be able to type slash, you know, gate hack or something, and then it just opens something really cool, and then you're in someone else's computer. Or you're able, like, one of the like jokey options I found was like, when you're in somebody else's computer, you can open their CD drive. It doesn't do anything. At least in the point of the game that I played. But it's just cool to be like, oh, somebody out there, like, it puts in the terminal, like, you just opened X's CD drive. And you're like, whoa, I'm awesome.
Yeah, I've beaten this game three times. It's pretty short. And I've also beaten the campaign DLC they released last year. I really love, like, I love the style of this game. It's got a really great electronica soundtrack that I thought was really enjoyable and really added to the mood. And it's just sort of like, when you get, like, used to it, when you get in the groove of Hacknet and how it plays, you're just sort of, like, banging through things. And it really does convey that feel of the Hollywood hacker, right? Where you're just, like, melting through cybersecurity like it's nothing. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. I thought it was cool. I thought, like, I would love to learn more about how this works, and I want to explore more of this. I just have trouble sitting... Like, I was only able to play it in, like, very, very tiny chunks, because when you know it, like, when I was asking you to help me with something in the early parts of a game, you can do some of those puzzles in, like, seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much... It's a very speedrunnable game, because you don't really have to do things in the order that you're taught how to do them. You can kind of just like type the final command of the mission and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you don't know that stuff, you just spend upwards of like 20 to 30 minutes being like, unlock door, firewall. And then just like a timer comes up that's counting down. And you're like, why? No, what's going on? Why is this happening? And it's just very, it can get like very exhausting when you just don't know what the hell to do. So that was kind of like what put me off of it towards the end. But I think overall, I'd give it a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad. Of course, the 30-minute limit is what it is, and I think that's fair. But there is some really great stuff later in that game. Some really cool mission design. You hack somebody's pacemaker. You do some shit in that game.
Oh, jeez.
It gets pretty intense. And yeah, it's a game where like. You were playing through it and I didn't realize you could do this, but you made a mistake that sort of made the game like uncompletable really early on.
Yeah.
And we just sort of so I was like, okay, well, let's just start back up and go through it. And I started playing it alongside you, and I completed the tutorial in about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Once you're good, you're just good. And you just sort of bang through the game like nothing. And that, like, it's not a game necessarily about being hard. It's about sort of the sensation. So it's fine that you can just blaze through it if you want to.
Yeah, it's clearly meant to like make it. You're gonna feel good when you get good at it because you're just light speed hacking things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to get there, but it's just like a game I'd have to put a little bit more time into before getting there. And so that's why I was I have to take a break from that. I had to step away from it for a while.
Yeah, it also helps that, like, I've got, like, when I was in high school, I was playing, like, MUDs, which are, like, text-based MMOs. Like, I have a lot of background in like, text-only formats, so it was comfortable to me.
Right, you know the basic language of that stuff, mm-hmm. which is really good.
All right, well, so do I get my Garnet?
I'm gonna give you your Garnet.
All right!
I liked more of it than I disliked, so I'll give you that.
Nice. All right. Well, let's talk about our death match then.
Hell yeah. Death match. What's the new game this time, Six?
It's Tactical Yanori again.
Oh, man.
Well, listen.
I'm not even that disappointed when this happens. I guess it's probably just every other game at this point.
Yeah, it seems like that's the case. I think in season 2 that's not the case. I don't know. I feel like I've heard some things that they have new ones more frequently in season 2, but I don't. Like, that could honestly be bullshit. I don't really know what I'm talking about.
And they really wring a lot out of Yanori in this. Like, they get everything tactical and fun about that game. Like, it does kind of seem, and this one, I was like, oh, I somewhat understand the rules of this enough that I could, like, see what's exciting about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind games of it. But, it's obviously more important that the main game is completely unique every time as opposed to the DM. The DM just needs to be a way for people to make alliances and then have somebody win through a combination of luck and skill.
And also, like, this one, like, especially more than I think... I guess the second time on both games, like, both in the second winning streak game and now in the second Tactical Yanori, it's not really about the game at all. Like,
yeah.
The second winning streak was just about diplomacy and alliances, of course. And sort of like who can play the people around them the best, and this one is even further removed from the game, and it's just sort of like about like Chunyup and Jungmoon and sort of like how they feel bad about how things went, you know?
Right. It's an emotional game, as like more than it is a like skill game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like there's definitely like they're a more detached approach this time.
Right.
So, but they're getting ready to pick their partners, and Sungyu's like, "Before you start, I just want to give you one word of one little bit of advice for everyone. Don't pick Songmin; he's bad."
Right.
And Songmin's like, "What the fuck, man? I helped you out last week.
Doing my best."
So Jungmoon decides to pick Jinho, and Jinho is like, "Why are you picking me? Am I allowed to refuse? I hate this." and Chunyup does actually pick Songmin. So
we're into the shit now. We got the boys, yeah. Team boys versus team
boy and a girl. I mean, like there are no good team names for this. I know you suggested Team Cute Boys, but then neither of those teams are both cute boys, so that's hard.
Ah!
Chunyup just isn't that cute.
I disagree.
He's looked cuter on other weeks, but even then, it's just like, no, there's something about his demeanor that's just like, no, 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 wrong.
Maybe not this time. I think it's just because he's stressed this week, you know?
Well, and also because he's a discount Sungyu.
Wow! You're not allowed to say things like that.
It's nice that you're able to get a coupon for Chunyup, but that doesn't make him worth the money.
You're not allowed to say that's illegal. It's complete. Everything about that phrase is like, I'm deleting this.
Buy one, get one 50% off.
Oh my god, they're people, Six. They're human beings.
I'm teasing. We said last week, like, we like everyone who's left. He's not
sure.
Among my favorites, but like, yeah, I'm down with him.
When he gets eliminated.
He does. And I feel like this game, like, okay, so a lot of this game is them sort of like talking through like confessionals and like flashbacks about like Chunyup and Jungmoon, and they're working together and their friendship over the course of the show so far, and like Chunyup being like, "Man, I feel bad about betraying her," and Jungmoon being like, "Man, I feel bad about picking the person I trusted the most," right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's bullshit. Because first off, the first thing that Chunyup did after they were not, like, grouped with the people, other people at the beginning.
Yeah.
He got Jungmoon in a room and he was like, "Listen, if you're a zombie, you tell me and we'll work together. I will sacrifice. I will make this work." And Jungmoon just, like, refused to admit it. So actually, she had the first betrayal, not him.
That's fair.
And then also, like, "I feel bad about picking the person who trusted me the most." Then don't. You had like three other people you could have picked. You chose this. This
right.
was your decision, and you were like, "I'm going to go for Chunyup. Oh, this is so hard for me." You made it hard. I don't feel sorry for you. This is entirely your decision. This was in your hands. I feel like she's just sort of shifting the blame and trying to make this about, like, the cruel, ironic twists of fate when, like, my girl, you're the one holding the steering wheel.
Right, you got to learn to control your own fate and understand that you are, like, you are the master of your domain. Like, she makes this decision and then she's like, "Well, this sucks." And it's like, well, why did you pick it? Why did you pick him?
Yeah, and I mean, I understand, like, I'm sure there was pressure from the other zombies to pick Chunyup for kind of, because he kind of screwed things up.
Right.
But it's like, at the end of the day, you're the one going to the DM. It's your call, not theirs. And also, shouldn't you feel bad for the position you put Chunyup in this whole time? Like, God, I feel bad for Chunyup this episode, because he spent the whole episode, like, feeling really uncomfortable because the person who he was friends with was super obviously trying to screw him.
And not only that, but it led to him getting eliminated. And I kind of understand now, to loop back around, why you don't like the final line of the episode or whatever, that she's like, "What am I going to do without you?" And it's like, my dog, you put him in the gallows.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It feels really disingenuous. It feels like, I get it. If you're on TV, you're trying to look good, and she wants to look good, so she's trying to make this like, "Oh, it's just as hard for me," but it really isn't. Or if it is, then what are you doing?
Right.
This is your fault. He offered you an opportunity to work together. You didn't trust him enough to open up. That led to you losing, and then you decided to try and take him down with you.
So is this the turning point? Are you now anti-team Jungmoon?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I think I saw the way she was talking about all this, and I was like, no, I want you to lose.
Wow.
Until, like, she's come across, like, really, like, smart and cunning in a way that I really... Like, listen, my favorite is Song Min.
Right.
I don't dislike people for playing the game. Fucking get yours. But, like, don't lie about what you're doing.
That's fair. It feels very disingenuous. And I think, like, that last line is kind of supposed to be, like, a self-joke. I'm like, oh, my love, I miss you. And it's like, yeah, we get it. You eliminated him. We're being silly right now. Like, I don't think it's a sincere, like, last week's or whatever, when Teacher Cha leaves and you're like, oh, no, we miss you so much. You were so helpful to us. And she cries. Like, that's sincere, I think.
Yeah.
At least somewhat. This is just like, huh? Like, it did not feel emotional to me. And then I realized, like, even though these are all just, like, characters playing, like, heightened versions of themselves and having fun on a game show, like, I do care about their relationships with each other a little bit. And I don't want to see them just, like, casually throw each other under the bus that much.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Chunhyup cared, right? Like, there's a line as the deathmatch is winding down, and it's like he's in a bad position, and he's like, there are some days where it feels like I shouldn't be here. And this is definitely one of those days.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, buddy. And it's like, it couldn't be more obvious from the narrative of the episode that he feels that way because Jungmoon, like, because it, like, the game put them on opposite sides, and it was going to be very hard for them to bridge that gap. And the one chance he had, she shut it down.
Right. Super shitty move.
And then at the end of it, she fucking, pulled him into the gallows. It's like, man, that's a real bummer move. And that's, lame.
It's such an exciting episode that ends on such a weird sour note that it's like, we're doing this genius. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just have to hope that Jungmoon goes home next, because boo.
Boo.
Boo you, lady.
I agree.
Hmm.
I just love that we're getting so invested in this show now.
I was always in. From the moment I saw my boy Songmin. But from the moment I heard the first time the music kicked up as he began his speech, I was like, okay.
I'm in love.
This is it.
I forget what I was going to say. He's fantastic. People caring about their games is fantastic. But, like, it's... I try to remember, like, oh, I get so invested in this show for, like, approximately 60 minutes a week. And then I leave and I'm like, oh, God. it's just a genius. Like, I care so much as I'm watching it and as we record it. And then I leave and I'm like, oh, it's back to the root. Like, to this week, when I finished, I felt so connected to everyone. And then I was like, I just want to watch another one. But I can't.
Yeah.
Because I got to do the Garnet Wager.
Sorry for holding you back, Alan.
I mean, I was holding you back. You're now caught up to where you were.
I mean, I've seen, like, the first 10 minutes of the next episode. But yeah, I'm finally ready to actually go into things not knowing what's going on, which is really exciting. I don't know, you want to make another bet?
Oh, boy. I do.
Okay.
I have to. I must.
Gotta think of a bet. So the next game is going to be the, what is it, like the...
The horse betting
but
game.
But it's like the cheating horse betting game or something like that?
Yes. I'll find you the exact wording of it. Scamming horse race.
Scamming horse race. Okay. So, here's the question. What are we betting on? What's the bet here?
Is there a single winner for this one? Because I felt kind of disappointed when there was like four winners for the zombie game, and I was like, oh, I did win, but it feels like a hollow victory because they're not the only winner.
I feel like solo winners are going to be more common than joint winners. I feel like there are occasionally going to be games where like it's possible for there to be a joint winner, but there will usually be a single winner, I think.
Yes. Okay.
So
there's probably going to be a single winner for this one then.
Mm-hmm.
Are we picking how to do this, or are we picking like who we think is who we're putting?
Let's do an old fashioned one, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the premise of the game is that there are 8 horses in a race.
Right.
Right? And they're betting on who's going to win, but the outcome is rigged and you can figure it out somehow. I don't know how yet. Do you want to just bet on a horse?
Sure.
All right. Before you do, I'm going to go ahead and put 6 garnets down on horse number 6. Because you can't take my horse. That's not okay.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give you... That's fair. That's on brand. I'll allow it. In Pocket Card Jockey, I noticed that the middle lane always tends to be where you get the most speed and, like, boost. So I'm going to go ahead and put 4 garnets. I'm doing a low-stakes bet this week on horse number 4.
Okay. It has been entered into my document, and it is recorded. So at the moment, our totals are... you have 22 garnets, and 4 of those are held on a wager. So you have 18, certainly, and then 4 in the air.
Yeah.
I have 36 garnets, and 6 of those are held on a wager. So. Nice.
So I didn't realize how big the golf was.
I really got a lot with that Jinho. That Jinho was pretty big. So... That's where we're at right now.
Someday I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get a full steal, and you're gonna be Songmind with the E drink and the spit.
But until that time, I'm afraid I've got to go check on something. I feel like I forgot to plug in my laptop, and the battery is dying. So let's take it to the plug zone.
Every time I'm like, what do you like? It sound you, so your cadence changes when you go from like podcaster voice to talking to me as your friend voice, and I always am like, wait, what is going on? Like, the air shifted or something. Like we're about to have a samurai duel, except it's a plug war. Hi, hello, welcome to the plug zone. This is where we plug our shit. Six, you go first. I always go first.
Oh, okay. So I am available on Twitter. You can find me at 6detmar, SIXDETTMAR. If you have any questions or comments, you have thoughts about the Garnet Wager, hit me up. But if you want to see about podcasts that I'm on 5. And one of those is this show, The Garnet Wager. Other than that, there are 2 weekly podcasts. There is Bottle Crow Reborn, which is a Dota 2 podcast that comes out weekly. We talk about Dota, the popular MOBA game on the PC. And then there's Oops All Anime, which is patron only at from the Scanline Media Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia, where we talk about anime every week, every Monday. And then there are 2 monthly shows. There is Novel Not New, which is a podcast on the Abnormal Mapping Podcast Network, where we talk about visual novels. And then there is Neutral Game, which is a fighting game podcast, where we talk about games other than Tekken, because Tekken is a bad game.
Ah, being roasted. I love Tekken.
What's your stuff, Al?
You can find my Tekken podcast over at 6detmar sucks. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I just called you Al. I deserve that.
Yeah, we all have our faults. My other faults are that I host other podcasts. They are Fireside Friends, which I co-host with Ryan and Katie. It's a monthly show where we talk about pop culture and the way that it impacts our lives in the first half. And in the second half, we do shared experiences where we watch or play things. I also do Chats, a television podcast, which is a long-running TV show discussion podcast that my friend Magellan and I do. Right now we're watching The Newsroom. We're going to be starting season 3 soon. People tell us we're funny. I don't believe them, but you can check that out wherever you find podcasts.
And The Newsroom is a great show for when you just need to sit down, open a kiok, and just give it a listen.
If you want to understand that, you're going to have to listen to the show. We also have a ton of backlog episodes where we watch like Avatar and Farscape and Freaks and Geeks. If you'd like to follow me on the online, I'm at Alan Ibrahim. That's AllenIbrahim. Pa-lugs.
All right, Alan, one last wager. Heads or tails?
Tails.
5. Okay, well, I don't have a coin, so we can't actually determine that wager. Thanks, what? Bye!
Bye!